The question was asked, we find a concept in numerous places that Hashem does not do yesh me'ayin. Hashem doesn't create something out of nothing. Rather, Hashem will make things be blessed, will make things multiply, will make things grow, will find a, so to speak, roundabout way to give blessing to the world, rather than directly changing nature or creating things in nature. Is there a deeper understanding we can have as to why Hashem chooses this manner of affecting the world? So whenever we ask a why question about God, we're going to have a limited answer. You know the famous philosophical answer, if I'd know him, I'd be him, right? I don't agree with it, but I do think that we're limited in our scope of understanding. Nonetheless, there are certain things we can't understand. So we'll try to understand, but again, there are many angles to answer that question. There are many aspects, and we can only touch on some of them. So let's begin. We live in a world where we need to have rules we can rely on. If you knew that sometimes you turned over a pitcher of water over your cup and the water poured into the cup, and sometimes the water poured upward and splashed you in the face, you'd have a hard time working with such a system because you wouldn't have anything you could rely on. If you knew that some mornings the sun rises in the east and some mornings the moon rises in the east, you'd have a hard time working with that. We have enough variables in our life that are difficult. We don't know when it's going to rain. We don't know when the locusts are going to come. We don't know where the wild animals are roaming. And we don't know where the robbers are or what our health is going to do to us. But there are certain things in the world that God created as a system. In fact, the things that are not a system, Chazal very often attribute to God's work in the world. Meaning a person can be ill or healthy, and we pray to God about being healthy because we say that's where he affects the world, right? God saved, so to speak, for himself certain areas that are not an exact science. We do not master health. As much as we've advanced, we still do not master health. We cannot master every single germ in the air. We cannot master every disease. And as much as we develop medication, so the diseases outsmart the medications, we have a realm which is beyond our control, beyond our rules. We have a level of understanding, and yet it is beyond the system that we control. But there is a system in the world. Nonetheless, there is a system we can rely on. And Hashem created a world where that system continues, where man can know that when he wakes up in the morning, the sun rises in the east. Gamarnu. He doesn't fret at night, will it rise in the east? Will I have a sun tomorrow? Or will all of earth freeze? And so on. So within that system, God says, sometimes I want to do a miracle. And when God does a miracle, so we have a concept which the Rambam writes, and the Ralbag expands to the extreme, but the concept basically says that when you view a miracle, you have to realize that it happened through channels of nature. Let's take the Mabul. So we have a story in the Torah where the God warns, if you guys don't shape up, there's going to be a flood. You look in the book of Job, so Eov describes that there were extraordinary circumstances in the stars, meaning things, cosmic things happened that brought about the flood. So the Torah describes it as a result of their sins. Eov describes it as forces of nature that were at play. Do the two contradict? Our tradition is that they do not. The way God brought about the flood was through natural means. And if you were able to go back in time and analyze everything that happened around the splitting of the sea, you would probably find, or at least you would possibly find, that there were many forces at play. Maybe there were 1,500 meteors that passed Earth on the left and 1,500 meteors on the right, and their magnetic pull just ripped the Yam Suf apart and every other body of water apart. Just as we know high tide and low tide are affected by the magnetic pulls of the moon and the sun, so it's possible, and it wouldn't scare us, like the Rambam writes. Every miracle you look at has a natural angle through which it occurs. So then what's the miracle in it? The miracle is the timing. The fact that when Israel stands there, God tells Moshe, lift your staff over the sea, and then the sea splits. Now forgive me for quoting Nietzsche, but Nietzsche said, everyone looks at the verses that say the sea split, but somehow they don't notice the verses that say that all night long God made a wind blow over the sea. The Torah does describe certain natural things happening. When the Torah describes the locust coming in, the Torah says God made this wind blow. And then when the Torah describes the locust left, it says God made that wind blow. So now you'll ask me, what about the plague of blood? How does the Nile turn to blood? I don't have an answer for that. I don't know. But I won't be surprised if you find an answer for it. When you have a natural explanation for miracles, that doesn't bother us. That's the rule the Rambam said, that even miracles are done through forces of nature. The miracle is the timing. The fact that God says, when Israel's standing there, it will split. And when they walk through and the Egyptians come in, it will crash. But how does it split and crash? God doesn't change the rules of nature. He works through nature to change nature. So there's a system, and God does whatever He wants to do through the system. So if God wants to punish Titus after the destruction of the temple, and at sea, the sea is roaring, and Titus sees that his ship is going to sink, and then he says, you could only handle the sea. That's the only way you could take me down. You did it to the Egyptians, now you're doing it to me. So then the sea goes calm. And a little mosquito goes into Titus's ear and starts gnawing at his brain. And Titus dies that way. After a long period of torture, where he constantly feels the pounding as this mosquito is eating away at his brain, because Titus said, you can't take me down any other way. The only way you work is through the sea. So God said, you know, I created this little vermin. It's actually created from larvae on the water. It's now you don't even see how it generates. But I'm going to send that little vermin and it will take you down. Just because you decided that I need the big sea to take you down, so I'll show you.
Using something that comes from a little body.
Okay.
There's some humor in that.
I agree. So, we have another rule. That when Hashem makes a person wealthy, Hashem does it through natural means. Moshe was the poorest Jew, so it would seem from the text. Every other Jew had a lot of wealth leaving Egypt. Moshe was busy doing mitzvos. So God says, when you chisel out that special stone to make the luchos, the pieces that you chisel out, that fine stone is yours. So Moshe gets wealthy from that stone. But God didn't make a pot of gold appear in his tent. When the Talmud tells us Mordechai was in exile at the period of the destruction of the first temple, and he needs a wet nurse to nurse Esther. He has a niece who's been orphaned, and he can't find a wet nurse. So God doesn't make a pot of gold appear at the corner of his house, and then he could go and hire a wet nurse. No. His genetic makeup changes, and he starts developing like a woman, and suddenly he nurses Esther.
Which is more
elegant. Right? Yeah, I don't know. But the Talmud says, this teaches us that in the eyes of heaven, so to speak, Parnassah is so difficult, God made one of the rules of nature that you have to fight for Parnassah, that it was less out of whack for him to develop like a woman than it was for him to find the pot of gold. People think, I found it, the make it rich quick scheme. Somehow no one's found it. It boggles my mind, these advertisements. You can't lose. Really, then why are you selling it to me? Keep it for yourself.
They're getting rich because suckers are sending them $50 to the government.
No, it's a Ponzi scheme. That's the game I screen.
Okay.
But then you wind up like burning metal.
So at any rate, the rule that we have is that Hashem gave us a world where we can see the laws of nature and rely on the laws of nature. We're not supposed to worship them. We're supposed to realize that God controls them. But God works within those rules. Now, one possible reason is what we said earlier. We need to be able to rely on the world we live in. If things were too fantastic, then you wouldn't be able to rely on anything. Then you'd just pray, God, my neighbor's getting on my nerves. Have lightning strike his house down. You know, we don't do that. Because God has taught us that that's not the way he functions in this world. But there's another reason. I lost my train of thought. Another reason is, and this is quoted by many Rishonim, so that a person has Bchira Chofshit. Meaning every miracle we saw, we were able to say, well, maybe something else happened here. The Jews did that often enough. Pharaoh did that often enough. There was one time where God said there'll be no way out, and that was at the great revelation at Sinai. But practically everything else, God said, you can explain it away. Okay, there might have been one or two other miracles for the generation of the desert, where God said, I made these for you. A one-time thing in world history, where you have no other explanation. You know I did that. The Mon, there were, I'm saying, that generation merited miracles where the Torah says at the end of the Torah that no one else did that and no one else had that and it ain't happening again. That's not the way Hashem runs the world because, in fact, a person has to have Bchira Chofshit. The whole purpose of doing things is that we will live up to the challenge. That question, which should always be present, is he there or isn't he there? Did he do it or didn't he do it? That's a part of our Bchira Chofshit. If I were forced to that corner where it was so abundantly clear that he made that pot of gold appear, so then how could I ever sin? It would be so difficult.
Oh, okay, but if you have a vanilla extract sized bottle of oil and you fill up barrel after barrel with it, that's sort of hard to explain away.
Okay. Again, it's different. It's taking something that's there and making it more. If I explain more, I start entering the Machlokas, Ralbag, and others. So I'd rather leave it as a general rule. The fine points, once you start looking at the Rishonim, you'll see that they diverge a little bit. It's not exactly one approach to the fine points of how to apply this concept. You could see the place where it's discussed broadly is in the story of Elisha, where the man drops his axe in the water, and he says, oh boy, my master Elisha, that was a borrowed axe. And Elisha drops a piece of wood into the water, and the axe comes to float. And you have a Ralbag there, and a Malbim there. And that's, if you want to see one place where it's discussed very strongly, how the miracle worked over there. What was going on here? You know, he did have to throw a piece of wood in the water. Why? Let him just wave his hand over the water and say an incantation, and then the water, you know, it'll flow. So, again, once you get to the fine points, then you start getting to machlokot, exactly how to understand what happens there. I would add another place, if you're interested in looking into this concept. So, the Medrash and many Rishonim write that creation was once. And God created the finest form of matter, according to many Rishonim, two types of matter, two of the finest form. Shamayim and Aretz are two descriptions of the two types of the finest form of matter. And then everything else evolved from that. And it's as though Hashem says, I don't want to create. I can make evolve, but I don't want to create. Hashem says, I'll take what's there, make it evolve into something more complex, something better, but not to create. You see, even man was formed from the earth. God says, I'll blow the spirit into him. But in the physical world, Hashem says, I started the ball rolling, let it keep rolling. But God doesn't get involved in that way where Hashem says, let me create. Now, it's a funny line for me to say, because every day, people get pregnant, animals get pregnant, you have this little itty-bitty sperm and a little itty-bitty egg. You know how big an egg is? A woman's egg is the size of a kernel of sugar. Okay? One little kernel of sugar. That's the egg. That's what we all come from. Yeah? Every one of us began as that little kernel and a little tiny sperm. You know how tiny that is? And boom! So we say, no, God isn't creating anything new. Really? That's pretty amazing. Think of me, a little kernel of sugar, right? So that's where we all started.
That's evolving.
But that, again, is evolving. Just like the Medrash and Rishonim, right? That from the beginning of creation, everything is an evolvement. Hashem says, I'm not going to create new things. Who said we're dead set against
Christians are not.